York, and I'm the MC for the evening. I'd just like to start off by acknowledging the living culture of the Cadigal people, the traditional custodians of the land we stand on, and pay tribute to the unique role they play in the life of this region, and pay my respects to their elders past and present. So yes, thank you for attending tonight. We're here for the launch of Daddy's OK, an insightful book written by Dean Mason. Daddy's OK looks at the true experiences of 14 men going through separation or divorce. Their stories are told in three main stages, the first of which is eyes opening, how they become fully aware of what has occurred. Existing with what you see, how they get through their lives while coming to terms with what is now visible, and living and loving, making sense of life as it is and turning it into something positive and long-lasting. With over 50,000 men and women getting divorced every year, this process of separation and divorce has become a common rite of passage for men. Not every man interviewed for the book claims to be in a better place after their divorce, but each man has a story that is as similar as it is different. And each one of them illustrates things that work and things that don't work to build stronger and healthier individuals, husbands, fathers, and family relationships generally. I'd just like to start by just reading a very short extract out of the book. This is the opening paragraph of chapter 11, which is entitled Making Sense of Our Lives. Daddy's OK is the product of men who have found a way, or who are doing their best to find a way, to make sense of their separated experience. To make sense here does not mean to arrive at a perfect and rational explanation of why things have happened the way they have, far from it. It simply means to discover more about ourselves and to find a way of connecting meaningfully with the world as a new me, and not to feel completely alone as the old me. This book is full of really insightful pieces such as that. My name's Phil York, I'm the coordinator for Dads in Distress Support Services in New South Wales. And as Dean is the national chairman of DIDS, for me, I was really excited to hear some time ago that Dean was embarking on this adventure. And it really was an adventure to somehow put together the reflections of 14 different dads with very different backgrounds around their experiences of separation, divorce and rebuilding their lives, and then somehow bring all that together, which required the drawing together not only of the similarities but also of the differences of the 14 dads and their journeys as they dealt with their emotions post-separation, the different challenges and some triumphs along the way, but more importantly, how all of that reflected on each of them, not only as a dad, but as a man into the future. Our first speaker tonight is Michael Green. Michael is a criminal lawyer with 25 years of experience and became a senior trial and appellate barrister. Is that correct, appellate?
Appellate.
Thank you very much. I was struggling at about 1 o'clock this morning. He retired in 2000 to establish a mediation practice concentrating on family relationships. As president of the Shared Parenting Council of Australia, he was active in supporting the reforms to the Family Law Act in 2006. Which introduced shared parental responsibility into the practice of family law in Australia. He has consistently promoted the role of fathers in both intact and separated families. He has written two published books, both self-help books, Fathers After Divorce, through Finch Publishing in 1998, and Shared Parenting, Jill Burrett and Michael Green, Finch Publishing 2006. He is working on his first novel. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Michael Green.
Thanks, Phil. I think I can do without the microphone. Actually, I'm pretty annoyed with Phil because I had a passage picked out of this book to read I couldn't believe it. He beat me to it. But there are plenty of other good chapters in it, plenty of other good sections. I'm very happy and very pleased to be able to participate in its launch. It's a good book. Actually, and we need it, and we need it, and I say that with some regret, because part of my many problems in life, apart from what I was telling people this evening about my golfing, is that I've been an impossible dreamer, and when I, with Debbie's assistance, when we published Fathers After Divorce, I thought, well, that'll tell everybody what the problems are, and of course there'll be a mighty revolution thereafter, and things will be corrected very quickly. Well, you know, surprise, it wasn't, although it was part of a wave at that time, and what I'd like to be able to call, and I think I did in one of the books, an outbreak of common sense, when society, through its own development, I think ideas do pop up and or regurgitate and develop and transform, together with the very valuable research that has been that was being done mainly in America at that time. We haven't been so good at that in Australia. Woke up to the fact that fathers, not only mothers, but fathers were important for their kids, both in intact and in separated family. So it was good that some of us were able to point that out, and it was indeed good that some of us got together in promoting, mainly through the Shared Parenting Council of Australia and others, DIDs, DADs and all of that, the reforms which eventually, thankfully, were picked up by the Howard government in, what was it, 2006, brought into law. And then I dreamt, of course, that that would be the end of that, and everything would be cured. And I could perhaps come tonight and say, this book, what are we doing here? It's not necessary. Well, that didn't happen either, of course, even after my intervention with shared parenting. But things have improved. I'm not decrying what's happened. I'm a bit concerned about recent amendments to the Family Law Act, which tend to distract, I think, and we may have to see how these work out in practice when we hear from judges and magistrates and, dare I say, even lawyers, and more particularly the experience of people on the ground, mothers and fathers in those situations, how the new amendments work out. What I'm afraid of is that the whole colour and philosophy of the new legislation, shared parenting, that is, getting together to sort out as amicable as possible, but certainly sensible arrangements for children and for the parents in a separated family situation. I'm just a bit disturbed that predominance or that accent, that emphasis may be somehow diminished, but let's hope it won't be. This book is very much necessary, and it's a good book. And unlike my interventions, being a lawyer, I suppose I could hardly avoid it. I've concentrated a lot on the structures, the mechanics, the wherewithal, the court system, the mediation system that we have. And I must say, too, I think we have some of the best family law legislation in the world now. And I've seen a bit of what has been introduced ahead of time, ahead of our time in America, too. And other countries are still struggling. But that's all very good. But of course, as Dean has shown in this book, is the personal is much more important. And no structure, no legal, no family law structure can cure everything, can sort things out, can provide the ultimate framework, of course. And that's why we need, I think Dean has been very sensible and very useful in taking the stories of these 14 men and exposing them in a very sensible way, a very sympathetic way, but also with the necessary element of toughness about it. Because what I think helps men and women in these times, these tough times that come with separation, divorce, I think it's very much the personal and the things that can't be cured but perhaps have to be accepted, and perhaps doing just the best that he or she can. So while we need better structures, and I feel that we have to move to a better structure than we have now, I think really, and dare I say it, don't tell my lawyer friends, we have to take the lawyers out of it, and we have to take the court out of it as much as possible. That will be the next revolution. I may not live to see it, because it's going to take time. We have to move, I think, to more the administrative commission-type structure that Lionel Murphy, way back in 74, 75, had in mind. Unfortunately, I think his idea was somewhat subverted, maybe even perverted, by the legislators and the lawyers. But that's a bit pie in the sky for now. The personal approach and the personal therapies and the personal management, of course, is always necessary, much more important. And it's just wonderful that we do have reformers on the structural side, but also reformers on the personal side, like Dean, who has provided a very useful and a very valuable resource for men. And it will be valuable and helpful and show fruits, not just for men concerned, men who pick up the book and go through it and identify themselves and say, well, you know, there's some hope and there's something I can do and this is how I can do it and these are the resources that I need, and let's do something that men are not very good about, go out and get help and talk about it. And his work with DIDS, of course, that's immensely valuable, and we can be terribly grateful to him that he's put in the hours. And I know what it takes to write a book. Most of us can write a story, we can write bits and pieces here and there, but to get it, knock it eventually into publishable form, let me tell you, is a mighty effort. So we congratulate Dean. And it gives me great pleasure to launch it and promote it.
Thanks, Michael. I've got a couple of other little extracts which I'll just share with you that for me had a lot of meaning. For me, really talks about the differences of being stuck in the past versus having the past as an opportunity for us to reshape ourselves and to redefine ourselves and to actually make a new me and a better me. The first one states, those who manage to make some sense in both the rational and emotional sense of their experience and discover a new and authentic me in the process are not moving on so much as moving up. They are growing resilient and discover a depth of wisdom to live more productively without the emotional hurt continuing to overwhelm them. This is true, of course, for both men and women suffering from any variety of hurtful experience. He also goes on to say, In the chapter entitled Let's Try Again, where a family is at risk of breakdown and both or either parents are demonstrating clear signs of emotional distress, it is hard to understand why, as a modern society, we cannot do more for individuals to deal constructively with their personal anguish, no matter the cause, especially when a family's unity is at stake. We need to learn new skills and ask for help before it's too late. And the help that is available needs to be more able to cope with the degree of conflict and toxicity that many couples experience. Trying again is not necessarily the right thing for every situation, but the emotional anguish that occurs early on could be more constructively supported, there may be a chance of separation to be assumed as the best default outcome. So again, some really insightful ways of being able to move parents through that transition period. Next, I'd like to introduce Dean, the author himself. Dean works professionally as a management consultant and is a volunteer with Dads in Distress Support Services, also known as DIDS. He is currently serving as national chairman. In this role, Dean is working actively to build understanding both within the DIDS community and with other social service providers and partners of what is needed to reduce the anguish so that so many experience during separation and divorce. Under his leadership, the necessary foundations have been laid for DIDS to grow and reach many more people with high-quality peer support through group and phone support services now and into the future. In 2011, Dean also led a DIDS working party to formulate a submission based squarely on the real and majority view of participants in DIDS programs to the Senate regarding the 2011 Family Law Violence Bill. In writing Daddy's OK, Dean has brought together his various consulting and writing skills with the primary motivation to give constructive expression to the anguish that non-custodial parents, the majority of whom are fathers, experience. By so doing, he and everyone involved hopes to inform a more compassionate and caring post-separation environment into the future, and one that is much more effective in serving the best interests of children. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dean Mason.
Thank you very much, Phil, and thank you very much, Michael, for your kind words. It really is an honour just to have this opportunity to be able to write something like this, which is all about people's very personal experiences, and to put it out there for the world to digest and to be sort of steering this little project all the way through. It really is a wonderful sense of achievement for me, and a great honour to have people trusting their lives, you know, their life stories into my hands. And one of the biggest fears I had in writing this book was, oh my God, what all these 14 guys think once they actually read how I've written their stories, you know, I think, oh no. Because with some of them, I had to be pretty tough, you know, like, I didn't agree with a lot of their behaviours, and I didn't actually agree with the way they did a lot of things, so I had to, you know, and the editor I worked with was really hard with me in saying, well, you've got to be more balanced here, and you've got to present the other point of view. And I think, oh, it's so hard, though, you know. So it's been a wonderful journey. And I've told you some of you this story already, but I want to share it again because it's a good story. But it also just indicates how I think the community as a whole is starting to think differently about these things, or maybe, as Michael found 14 years ago, being a published author, you get grandiose ideas. I'm not sure. All the time. Last year, you know, Michael Fox climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge. 4 days later, you know, a guy committed the terrible act of familicide. Absolutely horrendous, right? And these really got to me. And with the experience I've got with DIDS, I thought we have to somehow raise community awareness of what this anguish is about. Why do we keep on seeing such, you know, ridiculously extreme acts? I mean, they're coming from somewhere. We have to listen. We have to respond to that. So, and I know, you know, Judy here from the CSA, I mean, I know how hard the people working in the system, lawyers, the child support agency and their caseworkers, child protection workers, family law lawyers, I know how hard they're working to get this right. But I also know how short we are falling in getting it right because we keep on having these extreme things happen. Yeah. And so I thought, I don't know, the only thing that I feel I can do is help get this message out there in a constructive way. Right? That was my focus. And so I wrote a proposal. Literally, I thought, okay, I'm going to write a proposal to a publisher out there somewhere in the world, don't know who. And it took me about 2 weeks, and I put it on the side of my desk. And I thought, if I talk to a publisher in the next 6 months about this, that'd be a good thing, yeah? And I promise you, within 48 hours, right, an email came from New Holland Publishing to DIDS, and it came to me, do you know anybody who might be interested in publishing a book about this? Men's stuff, men's side of divorce. And Fiona Schultz, Managing Director of New Holland, was responding to exactly the same things in that were going on in the public space. Right? She was saying, look, we've got to tell the story of what it's like for men. You know, what is it really like? Let's get a story out there. And so I come up to Sydney, have a chat with Fiona, and you know, here we are. So it was just an extraordinary example of, you know, look, there's something happening here that society wants to get out, you know, and have heard. So so it's a great privilege for me to be an agent, if you like, in that process. But what's most heartwarming and really encouraging is that the amount of support this book is getting from so many people who just actually want to see a healthier post-separation environment, you know? Well, it's not about winning, it's not about mum or dad being better off, it's actually about having an environment where there's less conflict, where kids can grow up with some stability, some safety, and some harmony, you know? But unfortunately, the broader system as we know it cannot actually deliver that today very well. Sometimes it does, but there are a lot of institutional pressures, unfortunately, that tend to contribute to one or other parent being excluded from the family unit. You know? And that, to me, is a tragedy, and it's a social justice issue which is massive, I believe. So I think if we can get the anguish expressed a little bit better in a constructive way that's not blaming anyone, just saying, look, we all have a responsibility to play, let's pick it up and let's, you know, do what we can with our little bit of the responsibility, then we might collectively be able to better inform the policies and procedures, the laws and so on that are creating this bigger environment. So it's a big task, but hey, Michael, you broke the ice, you know. So we're going to keep on forging through. Keep on forging through. I remember reading Michael's book 10 years ago, about 10 years ago, just thinking, well, this is magic. Why isn't everyone mediating? It's so obvious. It's so obvious. But try and talk to my lawyer about that. What are you talking about, Dean? This is, you know, you're in, you know, fairyland. So I wish there were 100 million more of Michael Greens. So to have everyone here, each representing a different part of my personal life and also my professional life and interest in this space, is just absolutely fantastic. So Sasha is representing New Holland here tonight, so thank you, Sasha, and all the team at New Holland have done a wonderful job. And Deb McInnes here, the PR queen from heaven. I think 15 radio interviews so far. We've got television, we've got newspapers. I mean, you know, it's just phenomenal. So I'd like to think it's such a wonderful book, everybody wants it.
That's it. Yes,
but
yes.
I've got a strong feeling that Deb McInnes is behind a lot of this. Because she's good. So if any of you want to do PR for a book, this is the one.
Thanks for the
So... what can I say? Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support and your encouragement in whatever part of my life you're in. And Phil, thank you for emceeing. And, you know, how long have we known each other? I can't remember.
7 years,
I guess. So, it is just such a wonderful, I can't describe it. It's just such a wonderful feeling to be working with other people constructively in this space, because I can tell you it is extremely hard for people who've gone through separation stuff to actually work together, right? Because they've lost the capacity to trust in another human being about really important matters, right? I shouldn't say lost the capacity. Their capacity has been somewhat damaged, yeah? And it takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work, for people to work together and build that trust again. So in the DIDS community, that's what we're doing. In the broader men's sector and advocacy sector, if you like, that's certainly what I'm trying to be an advocate for. So, and this book is a big part of that. Thank you all for coming. Please enjoy more wine and nibbles. And Michael, did you actually say, I now declare this book launched?
Yes, he did. Can you say it again?
I now declare this book well and truly launched.
Yeah.